the Lord said, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I'm so glad that you're here, because I believe this is a very interesting statement that was made by our Lord, and one that all of us should think about. It was said about a man named Hudson, who was a somewhat famous missionary to China, accomplished a lot there. And he was once approached and complimented about his great work. And he said, I guess the Lord looked all over the world for someone very weak, and he found me. I think we're talking about a person this morning that felt the same way, at least at the end of his ministry, if not at the beginning. This is the type of people that God is able to use. And we all have weaknesses. But until we admit that and depend upon the strength that God gives, it's unlikely that He will use us very much in His kingdom. All of us are familiar, of course, with Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. There is no greater contrast in the New Testament. There is no greater new birth in the New Testament. We have the book of Acts, and it is a book of conversions, laid out from the very beginning of its opening to the very end. And right in the middle of all of that, we find this man, Saul of Tarsus, being brought to the Lord. It is the only conversion that I know of in the book of Acts that is recorded three times. Perhaps there's a reason for that. Acts the 9th chapter, where it happened. Acts the 24th chapter, where he stood before Governor Felix and explained his conversion. And Acts 26, when he stood before Festus and King Agrippa and again explained his conversion. Three accounts, same story, of how one man had his life greatly changed by the Lord. Of course, Saul of Tarsus was a man that thought anybody that believed in Christ was a blasphemer. He fought against the church and against Christ with all of his might. Anywhere he could find a Christian and put his vote in for their death, he would. Anytime he had the opportunity to cast women and children into prison, he would. This man was zealous for the cause. We're first introduced to him in Acts 7, where Stephen is being stoned for preaching the gospel. And the Bible tells us that there was a man there, Saul of Tarsus, who held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death, giving, of course, his approval to their actions. And then on the other side of the coin, there is Paul the Apostle, as he is known by us. He wrote many of the books in the New Testament. He traveled to great lengths all over the known world to let people know about Jesus Christ, that he was his Savior and the Savior of all who would have it so. He was indeed the Son of God. Here was a man that had to take back every word that he had ever spoken in regards to faith, the Scriptures, his God, and his own personal faith. He had to retract it all. He had to tell everybody that he was so wrong, so sorry. But it didn't stop there with the Apostle Paul, because it was in his hands and the call of God to use him now for good. So he didn't just say, I'm sorry, but he went out into the world and let people know about Christ. So this is the individual that we're talking about in the text. And you say, if that is true, if Saul of Tarsus was really like that, then why in the world would God choose such a man? And it was because, of course, of the grace of God. The grace of God reached even Saul of Tarsus. That ought to tell you something. A man so dead set against his son, and against all those that believed in him, and everything that God had planned to do and was doing. The great obstacle, it seemed, to the church at the time in their way was this one man. He instigated all the persecution. He ravaged the church like a wild boar going through a vineyard. It seemed like he could not be stopped. And still one day on the road to Damascus, the Lord stood in his way. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Don't you know it's hard to kick against the goads?" But this grace of God that was for Saul of Tarsus is for everyone. It's for all of us. And there's not a person here who could be saved if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God. Our sins would overwhelm us. Our weaknesses, our iniquities, all of our transgressions would be on our own heads and shoulders, weighing our hearts down, convicting our soul, condemning us to an eternity without God. But then there is the grace of God that can save any man. And just as the hand of God reached down out of heaven and plucked Saul of Tarsus out of the grip of sin, so he can do for us. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that the grace of God is that way. And we should all walk in grace and in his favor. And we should all, as Christians, be forever thankful for what he has done for us. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it, Saul? And so a man might drive an ox in the field, and he had this long pole, and on the end of the pole, a very sharp point, sometimes made out of metal. Or at the very base of a cart behind the ox, there would be a board with sharpness on it to prick the ox if you ever kicked back against it. And so the man, he would prick, he would goad the ox to do as he's telling him to do, and to go straight forward and to plow. But oftentimes in his stubbornness, that wild animal would kick against it. It did him no good whatsoever, only harm. It is said here that the word for goad is a derivative of another word that means to teach. And you can see how the man with the goad was teaching the ox to behave. And so he was with Saul of Tarsus. Sin oftentimes teaches us a lot of things. That's a very hard teacher. These experiences that we have with Satan, with transgression, and hardness of heart and disobedience to the will of God, it is indeed a hard teacher. And it's difficult for us to learn. But Jesus, it does not surprise me that he would speak this way. Does it surprise you? The man who taught everyone, it seemed, with parables, sort of used a little parable here when he talked about the ox and the goad. Notice that he said, "It is hard for you." He did not say, "It is hard for me." He said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goad." And this is not to say that God wasn't grieved over the fact that Saul of Tarsus was a sinner and would not turn his life around. But in the end, he says, "This will not affect me in one bit. You understand, Saul. My nature will remain the same and all my promises the same. But it's hard for you. It's hard for your life to do that. It's hard for your conscience to do that, when you know the truth is right in your face." He did not say, "It is hard for the church for you to kick against the goats." And this does not mean that Saul didn't persecute the church and bring affliction and anguish upon them. But in the end of the matter, the church would be saved. It would continue on no matter what Saul of Tarsus was able to do. He said, "It is hard for you, Saul." And we have to understand that about sin. We have to understand that about transgression in our life. Any hardness of a heart against God, it's hard for us. And God is looking down upon us with sympathy and compassion. And he's hoping that we will turn our lives around and get ourselves straight. That's what we need to do. But he was kicking all the way to Damascus. He was kicking against the goads. Well, we think about this as just plain stubbornness, I suppose. That would be one word that we might use. All of us have been guilty of that from one time or another. to be stubborn and how stubborn he was. And yet when Jesus looked at him, he did not look at him through the lens of a Pharisaic pride and judgment, condemnation. But he looked at him through the glasses of compassion. And I think that's how he said it, don't you? Oh, Saul of Tarsus, don't you know it is hard for you to kick against the goads? Why are you persecuting me? Yeah, that was compassion there. There was grace for this great sinner among all sinners. Compassion. And so when he looks at us, he does not look at us, you see, in the way in which to condemn us. As Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. John 3 and verse 17. With compassion and grace and mercy, he looks at our old broken lives. He looks at our lives of stubbornness. And he says, why will you not turn from that to me? It'd be so much better, so much easier, if you'd only put your hand in mine. But we're stubborn that way, aren't we? I read the other day, and I think I sent it out on the church notes, that little statement, God can fix a broken heart, but he needs all the pieces. And we're so reluctant to give him everything, to give him all of our heart. But that's when he does his best work, isn't it, when we do that? And that's what he's saying to Saul. Saul, man, you're stubborn. There's many people that sit today in that very way, holding on to the past, holding on to that last little bit that they refused to give to God. And yet God waits on them, hoping they'll make the right move. If I think about Saul of Tarsus kicking against the goads, I must think that he was, well, he's kicking against his own self. He really was. Because there was this feeling of self-satisfaction that went with the law. And especially a man like Saul of Tarsus, who was so obedient and zealous to the law. A Pharisee of Pharisees he was, the Bible says. Oh, everybody knew him. He was famous. They patted him on the back. You're such a good man. You keep all of the law. You're so righteous. You're so zealous. And God is looking down on him and says, it'll never do, Saul. You're not going to be saved by the law, Saul. You need grace, Saul of Tarsus. And all your morality and all your law keeping is never going to be sufficient. You're not perfect, Saul of Tarsus. You're weak. You need the grace of God to be saved. And I suppose today there are people still that are kicking that way. They're satisfied with their own morality, their own goodness to their neighbor, their affairs and social causes and in the community. That will not save you. I mean, I'm glad you do all those things if you do them. That will not get you into heaven. You cannot be saved by your own good works. It will not do. God says to you, you need grace. You need my son. All men are sinners and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Does that include you? It includes me. I need my Savior to help me with all my weaknesses and iniquities and infirmities. I need my Savior. I need grace. I need the blood of the Son of God, don't you? If we will not admit it to anybody, at least you will admit it before the throne of God that it's so. There's places that people do not see, but God sees. He knows what you need, and you need Him. So Saul of Tarsus, you see, he's kicking. Have we not read in the Bible about Cornelius? I wonder why God put such a fine man in the Bible as an example of conversion. Such a good man. He prayed all the time. He gave alms to those that needed it. So devout he was, the Bible says. And yet God said, I'm going to send you a preacher of the gospel. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And I wonder why he did that. Why he's there. I mean, we can understand with some of them, like Saul of Tarsus. But why this man, Cornelius? Because a man cannot be saved by his own morality, by his own values. He needs the blood of Christ. Quit kicking against your own self. It will not work, will not do you any good whatsoever. Not till you bow your head, your heart, your knee to Christ and the gospel. It's the only way it'll ever work. If anybody ever kicked against the scripture, it was this man. Now, it might seem like an odd thing to say about this Pharisee that was so zealous for the law, but it's the truth. Now, he was a man who would tell you, I love the word of God. I love the scripture. I believe it's inspired of Almighty God, Jehovah. And I love it. I memorize it. I teach it to others. I take my stand on it. But he was kicking against it all the time. And it's true meaning. All the scriptures that he read, all the prophecies, all the shadows and all the types, never ever did he see Jesus Christ. And that's where God was trying to take him. And if all the scriptures ever pointed anywhere, it pointed right there, you see. And here's a man with a head full of knowledge who knows nothing about Jesus. He missed the entire point. He was kicking against the scriptures. Every time he taught them and left out Jesus Christ, he was kicking against the scriptures. And he was helping others to do the same. I know there are people like that today. There may be some here today, this morning. I mean, there's people that will tell you, oh yes, I revere the Word of God. I love the Scriptures, the Bible. That's my mainstay. And yet to kick against them when it comes to listening to what God has to say about the plan of salvation, they will not hear it. As Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, yet they will not submit. They will not believe and they will not be baptized. And to Christ, you see, for the remission of sins. Why? This book you say you believe and you follow. And yet you kick against the very fundamental things that God would ask you to do that he might take away your sins. But there's more here than that, isn't there? There's much more than that. For the Bible is telling us the way we should live as Christians. And there are so many Christians who have gone astray. They put the world between them and God. Sin has latched on to them in their life. And now they're living that way. They may even show up here on Sunday morning, sit in a pew. But when they sit there, they know their conscience is not clean. It is not right between them and God. No one else may know, but they know. And God says, why are you kicking against my word? Do you not know that I demand of you repentance? Do you not know unless you bow your knee before me and confess your sins before me, I will not forgive you. And you are kicking against me in every way that you can. You're putting on a show for people that you're a Christian and yet your heart is not right. Your life is filled with sin. What's wrong with you? Why do you kick against me? Is that not so? Have you ever lived like that? Perhaps you're not now, but have you ever? And if you are now, why do you continue it? Why not come to repentance? Why not do what's right? This is a point that he's trying to drive home to Saul of Tarsus. His life was wrong and it would continue to be wrong until it was brought in harmony with the great truth that Jesus was the Son of God and he needed to give him his life. And he would never, ever, as much as he said he loved it, he would never understand those Old Testament scriptures without it. It'd all be for naught. I don't think a man like Saul of Tarsus would like to think that way. But it's true. Saul of Tarsus, you're kicking against the goads. Don't you know that? Why are you persecuting me? What I could do with a man like you if you'd only let me. You see? I wonder what he was kicking against. Did he have family? Saul of Tarsus? Did he have friends? Did he have those that were close to him in his old religion that now had come to Christ? Can you imagine that? You bear in mind, he was well known. He was well known all over Jerusalem. On all over those parts, he traveled. He was a well-educated man. He was highly thought of by all the Pharisees and all the Jewish parties. Everybody knew his name. Did you know the Bible says in Acts 6 and verse 7 that there were many in Jerusalem that were coming to the Lord? And it says many of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's Old Testament priests, tribe of Levi. Think Saul of Tarsus had any friends there? Why are you kicking against this, Saul of Tarsus? You got friends over here. You got family over here. You got people coming to the Lord. Why are you kicking against? Why don't you join them? Why are you kicking against that? Let me ask you now. Is someone sitting here that has a spouse that's come to the Lord, and yet you have not come? She or he has given their heart to the Lord. Christ is in their life. They've been forgiven all of their sins. Why not join them? Why not come to the Lord? Why not be one with them? You see, do you have friends here who have come to the Lord and yet you sit there idly by and you do not come? Look at their example. Look at their dedication and their commitment that they have. Look how it's influenced their life and changed them. Would you not have that too? Saul of Tarsus must have had that, yet he sit there kicking all the time against all of that knowledge that he had and all that experience that he had. You see, God would have whole families come to the Lord. Did you know that the Bible often describes conversion in that way? And we're talking about a person that comes to the Lord like Cornelius and his household. They all came to the Lord. The jailer and their household, they all came to the Lord. And Lydia and her household, they all came to the Lord. God would have us to all be one in Jesus. Why do you divide your family? You know, there's children that have parents that have come to the Lord. And children are kicking against the Lord. Why? Why do you do that? And there's children who have come to the Lord and they have parents that have not come. The Lord would not have it to be that way. He'd have us all to come and to be one for His cause. Saul of Tarsus must have been in that group, in that category, don't you think? Furthermore, Saul of Tarsus was kicking against a change that he could not stop. No power in hell could stop it. I don't know why Saul of Tarsus thought that he could stop it and make it do a U-turn. God had decided a long time ago that this day was coming, the day of Pentecost. And when it came, and His Son died on the cross and was raised from the dead, He was invoking a great change upon the religious world. Gentiles were now going to be accepted. The children of Abraham were going to be known, not because they were blood relatives to Abraham, but because they believed in His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm changing covenants too. I'm going to a new covenant, Saul of Tarsus. How do you like that? But see, Saul of Tarsus was against all those changes. And so he kept kicking against all that. And God's saying, I'm not changing my mind. Now you can come along with us, or you can be left behind. But things are changing, Saul. Do you know things are still changing? People are still kicking. There's a whole world of sinners out there that have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with His world, nothing to do with the gospel. God's still changing it. Not going to stop Him from doing that. Everywhere the gospel goes, everywhere the gospel is heard, the church is born again. God's still changing things in our world. We are the salt and the light of the world. Never underestimate your importance in God's kingdom. God's still changing things. And He's got a big change yet to come. Because He's going to evaporate everything that we know, and He's going to take us to a new heaven and a new earth. And He's going to change our old bodies into new glorious bodies, and we're going to live with Him forever. He's changing things. He never stops. And certainly a man like Saul of Tarsus is not going to stop it from happening. And so God is saying to him, why are you kicking against the change that's going to happen? It's bound and determined to happen. You can't stop it. Get on board. He's saying the same thing to you. But you're not going to stop what God is doing. Every one of us is going to stand before God in judgment. You're not going to stop that. Calling for us to go with Him. And then I have to think of all the evidence that was right there before His eyes. And even if He had the witness, if He had the witness of all those who were talking about Christ with changed lives,
if he had all the change that had taken place, if he had an understanding of the Scriptures as God would have him to understand it, don't you think that there were people still living during the time of Saul of Tarsus that Jesus walked among? Don't you think there were apostles who had touched the lives of people and changed their lives that Saul of Tarsus was able to talk to and perhaps to talk to him? Do you think anybody ever said to him, I was once blind, but now I see? Very possible. Do you think perhaps he ran across a fellow who said, I was once lame for 38 years, and now I walk because of Jesus Christ? Do you think someone perhaps said, I was deaf, and now I hear? I think so. Do you think perhaps there's someone who said to him, I could not speak, and now I cannot stop but speak about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you think perhaps someone said to him, I once was demon-possessed, and now I'm free from that cruelty? Perhaps someone said to him, I was once dead and lay in the grave for 4 days, and then I lived. Maybe someone did. Maybe someone said to him, I was once hungry, and I was there in the crowd of more than 5,000 people when he took just 2 fish and 5 barley loaves and fed us all till we were all satisfied and had food left over. I was there, Saul of Tarsus. I saw it with my own eyes, filled my own belly with the miracle food. Do you think perhaps someone said, I saw him there on the cross. I saw him bleeding there. And the spear that opened up his side, and blood and water that flowed. And when he breathed his last, I was there. And when they put him away in the tomb and surrounded him by Roman soldiers, and on Sunday morning, he was gone anyway. I saw him. And all of this, we say, Saul of Tarsus, you're kicking against the pricks. You're kicking against these goads. Why, Saul? Can't you see what God has done and what he will do with your life? What is your witness of Christ? Do you goad anybody with the truth of your life? And with the words of Jesus Christ, do you move them, teach them in the right direction? We know the story, of course, and how it ends. The Bible says Saul of Tarsus, he was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. He humbled himself. When he got to Damascus, Ananias was sent to him by the grace of God. And with compassion and mercy against this man that terrorized the church, blaspheme against the Son of God, he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And that man did that. And I'm thinking, no wonder he said later on, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace of God which was bestowed upon me was not bestowed upon me in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What a story. No wonder it's in the Bible. God would do something with your heart too, if you'll give him all the pieces. Don't kick against the life that he has for you. If you need to come, I encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.